Revelation chapter 3. If you could stand, please stand in the sign of reverence and honor for the Word of God. Reading from the English Standard Version of the Holy Writ. The Word of the Lord says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him." Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Speak, Lord. Your people are listening for a word from you. A rhema word. A word tailor-made for their situation. Our theme is a new year of new mercies, and our topic is that you can begin again. Picture a ship at sea during a ferocious storm. The waves rise and fall, violently crashing against the vessel. If the ship's safety depended on the waves, it would be lost, because waves are unstable by nature. But the ship is not secure by the waves. It's secure by an anchor driven deep beneath the surface into a solid ground. Our emotions are like the waves. They are real, powerful, constantly changing. Some days, those emotions lift us up with confidence. Other days, they batter us with fear and doubt and indecision. God's faithfulness, beloved, is the anchor. It does not move the storm. It holds firm whether the sea is calm or raging. See, trusting our emotions is like trusting waves to keep us steady. They cannot. They're not designed to. Trusting God's faithfulness is resting in the anchor that holds us fast. Even when everything on the surface feels out of control, this is the bottom line. Emotions change. But God's faithfulness does not. See, we are not kept by how we feel, but by who God is. And last Sunday, we began to explore the components of God's faithfulness, or his mercies expressed in his faithfulness. And so we dealt with, when everything fails, the love of God does not. God's mercy outlasts your mistakes. Every morning, God gives us a reset button. Like this morning, he gave you new mercies for this snowy morning. Now, fourthly, God's faithfulness is greater, that's the word, than your feelings. It's greater than your feelings. Lamentations 3:23 says, "They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Faithfulness is God's unwavering consistency to act in accordance with his promises, with his covenant, and his nature. Never changing, never failing, and never withdrawing his commitment. Hallelujah. See, faithfulness means you can count on God. He does what he says. He remains who he is, and he stays present with you in every storm and situation of life. He is an unchanging God. And so we anchor that reality in Scripture. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love." See, the faithfulness of God Because feelings deserve attention. They don't deserve obedience. God deserves obedience. Why is that? Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Listen to Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Well, certainly the human can't understand his heart, but God can, because God knows the heart. And he said in verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the truth of his deeds. See, God alone interprets the heart accurately. And he does it by his word. So, for A, God's faithfulness means, here it is, you are not abandoned, even though you may feel like you are. The truth says you're not. The word says you're not. You may be saying, I feel like I am. I think that I am. But you don't know for certain that you are. Because you can't determine God's presence by how you feel. It's by how he revealed himself. And God reveals himself in Scripture from Genesis to Revelation as omnipresent, right? That he's always present. That he never changes. That he cannot lie. That he is sovereign. That he can do whatever he pleases. He is the court of final appeal. God's faithfulness means you are not abandoned even when you feel abandoned. Even when you feel overwhelmed. And God's faithfulness does not promise an easy life. It promises a present God. Don't you know that? God will be present no matter what the condition of your life is. God will always be present because he promised to be present with you. He promised I would never leave you or forsake you. He promised in the Great Commission that as we go and take the gospel to all ethnic groups, all nationalities, that he will be with us, that he will not leave us until the end of the age. When prayers feel unanswered, faithfulness means God is still near. He's accessible. Psalms 34, verse 1 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Have you ever been crushed in spirit? God is near. God is present. God has not withdrawn his care because of your calamity. And some of us interpret our difficult moments in life as the abandonment of God. No, beloved, that's how you feel. Silence does not mean absence for the child of God. God's silence means you are being taught to trust, not tested to be rejected. You're taught to trust God in the silence. I know it's difficult to sit in silence. We are in this highly advanced technological age. And we're always interfacing, not just with real people, with people on social media, people online, not face to face, not person to person, you know, device to device, screen to screen. And we hate silence. But God is working beyond what you can hear. Faith is being rooted deeper than emotion. The Bible says, and the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. It's hard for us to be still and know that he's God. Now, being still does not mean immobile. It's not just sitting there without any activity. Being still is trusting in God and hoping in God and waiting for God to move on your behalf. However he sovereignly chooses to move. When you're staying still, you're still worshiping God. You're still trusting God. You're still hoping in God in your silence. God's silence is never empty. beloved, slows us down. It exposes hurried prayers that seek outcomes rather than God himself. Oh, yes, it's proper to request of God what you desire, what you want for others and yourself. But the outcome doesn't come as you pray. Would you still trust him? See, prayer shall move us into intimacy with God. Not because outcomes are working for my benefit, but because I'm drawing closer to his will. And now I can pray with a level of accuracy and affection that this is the will of God in that situation. Why? Because I'm drawing closer to him in prayer. Prayer is the means by which God gets his will that's in heaven done here on earth through you and me. It creates space for self-examination when you're silent. Humility and attentiveness to what God is actually saying. In Psalms 46:10, it says, be still and know that I am God. Meaning, God may be quiet because he is drawing you into stillness. Not pushing you away, but drawing you closer so that when he speaks, you can hear. And there's illustrations of that reality in the Bible, biblical text. Number one, we can look at the life of Joseph. And this is about God's faithful, here it is, presence in unjust places. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a place that you felt, this is unfair? This isn't right. I'm better than this. God, you know, I've done all I can for you. Why can't you come through for me now? And you feel like injustice is taking place in your life. But God's faithful presence is still there in what you perceive as an unjust place. There are four explicit statements regarding the faithfulness of God's presence in the life of Joseph. And let's look at Genesis 39, verse 2 first. That's the first statement. It says the Lord was with Joseph. It's comical, beloved, when you think about it. I mean, his brothers tried to kill him, actually tried to murder him, but decided not to murder him because daddy would be hurt. So they concocted this event where the son was mauled to death by an animal, and therefore he's dead. And they put some blood on his multicolored, you know, suit. Gave it back to Jacob. But actually, they didn't do that. They actually put him in a pit, sold him to some slave traders who sold him to an Egyptian official named Potiphar. That's what they actually did. And the scripture says in verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. And we're thinking, if God is with me, I shouldn't have to go through anything. Wrong. Because God is with you, you will go through a lot of things. Because God is going to prove your faith in him and prove himself to you. And he's going to strengthen that relationship that he started out with you. Now you start off in faith, confessing, believing, but then you've got to live faith. And that's going through, that's going in, and that's going out. That's being with God in the tight spaces of life and those fun spaces of life. And both has to be experienced in order for your faith in God to grow. If God was with Joseph, why didn't God prevent all that hostility in the lives of his family? Why did God allow it to transpire? Because God had a greater purpose, greater will that we don't know. But we know from reading scripture what it is, but you don't know what it is in your life. Listen, look at verse 3, Genesis 39:3. It says, his master, that's me, Potiphar, saw that the Lord was with him. Now you've got a pagan acknowledging that the true and living God is with this man named Joseph, who's a slave in his house. That's incredible. The Lord is with him. And that the Lord caused all that he did
to succeed in his hands. So whatever Joseph accomplished in Potiphar's house, Potiphar said, that true living God is doing that for him. If Joseph was letting his light so shine before men, right? But they saw his good works, and that man gave God the glory. Look at Genesis 39:21. It says again, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now he's in prison. He went from the palace to the, well, Potiphar's house to the prison, from the prison to the palace. Why? Because God was with him. God's faithful presence in unjust places. And you may feel like you're in an unjust place, unfair. You've got to understand, God is with you. And God is working his purposes out that you don't know anything about. And the way to get through a storm is to go through it. It's not to stop in the middle of it. It's to keep on driving until you get out of it. Then you will see the hand of God in your life situations. The Lord was with Joseph and made Joseph an assistant to the warden of the prison. Genesis 39:23. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge. That's incredible. Because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. And he will do the same thing in our life if we just stand still and know he is God. Joseph's life is marked by repeated abandonment. Rejected by his brothers, abandonment. Sold into slavery, abandonment. Falsely accused, abandonment. Forgotten in prison, abandonment. Yet Scripture keeps repeating this phrase, the Lord was with Joseph. How can the Lord be with us if we go through all that? Because God has a purpose and a plan that we cannot perceive with our human eyes or our human understanding. God was with Joseph not when Joseph was promoted, but when he was in prison. And so God did not remove, listen to me, Joseph from the pit immediately, but he entered the pit with him. Because the Lord was with him. You know that Emmanuel, Jesus, is Emmanuel, he's God with us. He's with us in our physical trials, our relational trials, our financial struggles, our psychological struggles. He's with his people. He enters in to our dilemma and to be our divine comforter in the midst of it. Joseph was abandoned by people, listen to me, but never by God. And people may abandon us, and we may feel that we're in an unjust place. But God is present. Emmanuel. God is with us, God is in us, and God is for us. And that's what he's teaching us. When it comes to his faithfulness. So when others walk out on you, God walks in. When they walk out, God walks in. Now there's more room for you to see him because your whole faith and confidence been in them. Well, God has a way of bringing us out of our trials and tests and tribulations to be conformed to his will. Secondly, let's look at the life of Elijah. Faithful care and emotional collapse. That's what God was for him. Faithful care in his emotional collapse. You remember in 1 Kings 18, Elijah had victory on Mount Carmel with those prophets of Baal. And Elijah confronts the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 18. And God answered by fire, and Israel's witnesses the Lord. We say we're going to be men of faith and we're men of the flesh. That's what was going on. But listen, beloved, Elijah's flight does not cancel God's victory or Elijah's calling. Instead, Scripture shows us in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 5 through 8, that he meets Elijah in his weakness, in his emotional and exhausted state. Not with a rebuke first, but with rest, with faith. does not argue with Elijah's feelings about his life. He meets him in that. Isn't that wonderful? He meets us in a place that we feel is unjust. But when what got us there was living for him and speaking up for him and obeying him and serving him. And then we find ourselves in an unjust place from our perspective. Here's the PowerPoint. Faithfulness means God stays with you even when your faith feels fragile. Because he has a covenant love towards you. I say it. It's a faithful love. God said over and over to his people, I'm married to the backslider. Slide backwards, I'm going to pull you forward. I heard one preacher say his wife told him that if he ever divorced her, she's going to pack her bags and leave with him. It's that kind of love. It's a covenant love. It's a faithful love. If you leave me, I'm going with you. That's the kind of love God has. Hey, you saying this is over? You leaving? I'm leaving with you. Committed love. A faithful love, an inseparable love. That's the kind of love God has for us. So he gives us faithful care in emotional collapses. And lastly, looking at the life of Paul, he gives us faithful strength in loneliness. Oh, man. You would never think Paul was a lonely person. And you would think, with the kind of faith he had and the kind of work he did, he wrote half of the New Testament, that every time he prayed, God would answer his prayer. But God didn't. I mean, he had a thorn in the flesh that was causing him pain. And he prayed to God 3 times, remove this. And then Jesus appeared to him and says, my grace is sufficient. That's the answer to your pain. The sufficiency of my grace. The power of my grace to sustain you in your situation. Faithful strength in loneliness. In 2 Timothy 4, 16 through 17, Paul is in prison. He's getting ready to be beheaded by the Caesar. I believe his name was Nero at the time. But he's near the end of his life. And Paul says this in verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, at my first defense, no one came and stood by me. Out of all the churches that he planted, all the people that he ministered to, all the struggles from place to place throughout the Aegean Sea, the Mediterranean Sea, the Black Sea, that you are never truly alone. God remains committed to you even when circumstances are confusing. Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2, he says, "But now thus says the Lord," that's the covenant-keeping God, "He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not." Why not? "For I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters," guess what? "I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." Why, God? Because I'm with you. God is with us. That's what you got to understand about His faithfulness. And our relationships, when the unspeakable happens, oh, pray that God will give you the faith, the kasia of love, to remain faithful to what He promised. Standing your ground and how you're going to respond and react to them out of God's goodness, out of God's faithfulness. Here it is. Joseph teaches us God is faithful in injustice. In relationships, a lot of us feel like I'm in an unjust place because of this relationship. Wisdom, trust His presence, trust His power to do what you can't do in that relationship. Continue to intercede for that person and what they need, and you be what you should be, and let God settle the rest. You can't change your heart nor mind, but you can work on keeping your mind and heart connected to God, that you remain vertical even when they're not relating to you in a horizontal manner the way they should. Is faithful in injustice. And you don't realize that maybe you were chosen for a time like that to be the one that will influence a heart and mind towards the true and living God. Then Elijah teaches us that God is faithful in exhaustion. You've done all you can, and things are still not working as planned. God was with him. Restored him. God cared for him. God nourished him because he was standing in God's promises. Elijah teaches us that God is faithful in our emotional and our physical and mental exhaustion. And then Paul teaches us God is faithful in isolation. Yeah. Some people feel give all the care and time and attention to people, and people don't return that towards them. They feel like, man, they really don't care about me the way I care about them. And that creates inside anxiety, depression, distress, anger. But God is faithful in isolation because God is telling us, no matter how no matter how we feel about them, that His feelings, His thoughts never changes about us. That we belong to Him. We live and move and breathe because of Him. We can get up the next day being burdened by the day before with freshness. chest.